Vexed me. Dear God, I hope I haven't got to listen to this much longer. When you hear about the atrocities that happened in New Zealand, you may not have heard on the news, but in Nigeria and in Congo this week, Christians have been murdered in a similar fashion, but for some reason our news have not put them on. There are many things going on in the world that we don't like. How do we stay safe? How do we stay safe? And the answer is very, very simple. You stay safe by sticking close to God. You might go through dangers, you might go through difficulties, but God will protect you. And God has a path for each one of our lives. Father, as we come to your word this afternoon, our prayer is that you will speak to our lives and that we will pay attention to what you have to say. Pray, Father, that you'll direct my words, that they'll not be from my head or my heart, but they'll be from your head and your heart, that you might receive the glory, because you are in charge and we commit ourselves and our lives to you. This message came about from a bit of fun I was having with myself when I was having a drive one day. And what happened was I drove up to this roadworks and there was nobody there. There was long tailbacks of traffic. Fortunately at my side I wasn't in a long tailback, but when once I got through, there was probably 3 miles of traffic at the other side waiting to get through. Roadworks are an inconvenience, but roadworks will keep you safe. When there's nobody there, there's a reason for there being nobody there. But we tend, when we drive in our cars, to be concerned with what we want and what we want to do, where we want to go, how we want to do it, and what is that moron in front of us doing. And if we're not careful, that goes through into our Christian lives. In our Christian lives, we want to do what we want to do. We want to go where we want to go, at the time we want to do it, and we don't want anybody to get in our way or cause us to move from the path that we've got to tread. So when we're driving every day, we have to observe road signs. If you're a pedestrian, you're not exempt. You need to know to stay on that pavement. Because if Mr. Big Shot with his fancy car comes whizzing round that corner and you're in the middle of the road, the chances are he won't be able to stop, or she won't be able to stop, because it's not just the men that drive like lunatics these days. When we were growing up, we had the green cross code. We had to look left and we had to look right. We had to look both ways before we cross. Even when it's a one-way street, you need to look both ways, because some folk don't look at the one-way sign. So going back to our roadworks, in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, I'm reading from the Amplified. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. With the road works, there is an implication that there is a job that needs to be done. In our lives, there's a job that needs to be done. And it's going to be a different job in each of our lives. Another implication of this, not only a job having to be done, but somebody's going to have to do some work. We all love that, don't we? Somebody has to do some work. When the work's being done, the roadwork signs will stay there, because somebody has to check the work to make sure that it's being done right. And as I said, just because there's nobody there doesn't mean that nothing's happening. Sometimes you'll see a roadwork sign near the coastline where the coast has eroded and the road started sinking. You'll see a roadwork sign there telling you not to pass for a very good reason. Because your car tyre will tread on that unsafe road, and then you'll go for a nice detour down the cliff, onto the beach and into the sea. Signs in the natural are there for a reason. Signs in the spiritual are there for a reason. And God speaks in signs and wonders. He does for a special reason. He does it because He loves us. And because He wants to show us more of His fullness, more of His purposes for our lives. Because God has a purpose for each of us. From the youngest to the oldest, God has not finished. God has a plan. He has a pathway for us all to walk in, so that His kingdom can be extended, that His name can be glorified. When this roadworks is empty, there could possibly be, like I say, a reason. You're going to have to wait. In the case of a landslide, you're going to have to wait for some engineers to decide how to structure the repairs in a correct way. Or it might be just simply waiting for some parts to arrive or enough manpower to do the job. But when we drive up in our cars, roadworks, what they've done them here for? Because there's a necessity for some repair work to be done. We all complain about potholes, but when they start holding the road up to repair them, for some strange reason we complain. You can't have it both ways. As I said, it was a number of road signs that I started playing with. And the next road sign I went to was a give way sign. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Give way. Driving up to a give way sign, give way. And what we want to do is we want to get to the end, keep our car moving, nothing coming, and away we go. But that give way sign's there for a reason. That give way sign's there because there may well be something coming in the other direction. It's not as powerful as a stop sign, but you've got to slow down and do something about it. You've got to give way. In a sense, that means you've got to surrender to the sign, just as we have to surrender to God. There's a reason for giving way. There is a reason why we give way to God in our lives. You can live your life just as you like. You can put yourself first. You can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do. You can drink what you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. But make sure that you want to do what God wants you to do. We have to live a life of surrender to God. Whenever there's a battle and somebody has to surrender, they have to give over their will to another power. And we have to give over our wills to another power. Our minds are very powerful things and control where we go, what we do, what we eat, and all the rest of the things that we do in our lives. But unless we surrender to God and do what God wants us to do, you're not going to fulfill your life to its best. Because God knows what is best. We think we do, ha ha ha. Wake up and smell the coffee, people. God knows what is best. He designed us, created us. He knows what our personalities are like. He knows how we think. He knows what we love. We too love football, but we love different teams. We don't fall out about it. Differences are allowed. Arguments and falling out and fisticuffs are not, because that does not show love. We are called to walk in love, which in a lot of time means giving way, because it's not always your way. Married people will tell you that each partner has to give way, and partners have to give way an equal amount, otherwise it becomes a controlling situation. One partner should not lord it over the other. It's a partnership. It's called partner for a reason. Yes, God established the man as the head of the house, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm not married. But even if I was, I wouldn't have a problem with it, because men and women are designed differently. Different things motivate us. And we have to give way in our relationship sometimes. Giving way and surrendering to God is a positive thing. It takes the pressure off to do things yourself, as you trust in and you rely on God to fulfill His plans and purposes in your life. You can't help but see the benefit. As I said, tied in with this give way sign is the stop sign. Stop signs are more powerful. When you go to the States, they're even more powerful than over here. Over here, if you get to a stop sign and don't actually stop and carry on driving, there's nothing coming. That's not a problem. Over in the States, there can be no traffic anywhere, and you come to a stop sign, if you don't stop, and Mr. Policeman sees you, get a ticket. Stop means exactly that, stop. If I say to you, to this young man here, stop, he stops. Because one would expect that if you tell somebody to stop, you've said so for a reason. Either for your own personal safety or their personal safety. A child running up to the gas fire, wanting to grab hold, stop, stop, stop. You're not going to let them touch the fire. You're going to try and warn them, stop. There's danger here. Start running across the road and there's cars coming. Stop. Wait. Stop. We're called to stop for a reason. And sometimes in your life, God will say to you, stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop it. Just stop. Might not tell you why at first, but then look around and it's not be long before you realise why God said stop. Because God ultimately wants you to walk in His path. He's got a fantastic plan for your life. But you're not going to see it unless you stop and you look around. Easy to get caught up in Christian circles. Easy to get caught up in the running around and the doing. And coming here and going there and... this needs doing, so I'll do it. Who's going to do this? Oh, well, I suppose I'll have to do it because nobody else will do it. Wrong attitude. God will tell you what you need to do. If we need jobs doing and there aren't enough people, Father, in the name of Jesus, we call in the workers to your harvest. How many of us are praying that God will send in the workers? We need God to send in the workers. Not the shirkers and the lazy, the workers. The only way that the kingdom of God is going to be expanded and extended is by the workers. But the workers need to put God first. It's no good just coming and doing the work. We could go to a job centre and get a dozen people to come and do some work, but it's not the sort of work that we have in mind. The work is kingdom work. Yes, there is physical work that needs to be done. The building doesn't clean itself. The garden doesn't mow its own grass. We haven't got the right sort of sheep at this place. Sheep would have sorted that out. But the sort of sheep we've got don't work. Goats would work as well. We don't have any goats, happily. We used to call them stepfather, the old goat. But even he couldn't have got all the way around. But the thing is, we need to focus on what we need to be doing, given his authority, given his direction for our lives. And when once God puts you on that path, when I can talk, there's another sign. No U-turns. When you put your hand to the plough, don't turn back. You commit your life to God. You commit your life. Yes, I want to be born again. I want to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to extend his kingdom. I want to have a new life. But I want to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to church. And I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. Who do they think they are talking to me like that? I'll do what I want. I'm not going to church. There are things that you need to do when you're born again. And this is the place where you need to be. You might not like everything that happens in here, but this is the place you need to be. You're not called to like everything. You're called to be here. You're not called to fulfil your plans and purposes. You're called to fulfil his plans and purposes. He will guide your steps. Do you want a full life? Or do you want a boring life? If you want to enjoy your life, you need Jesus. Jesus will fulfil your life. He'll give you a plan and a purpose. Or do you just want to be boring like everybody else? No U-turns, no going back to where you came from. It's frustrating, isn't it? You drive to the end of the street and there's a dead end sign. And you've got to turn around and go back. Flipping dead end sign. They should have put a sign down there to tell me I couldn't get through. Yes, they should. But sometimes there isn't time. Sometimes if something happens and the police will block the road off. You're not coming past here. You've got to go back. Sometimes you legitimately have to go back. Sometimes we go back because we want to. Sometimes we go back. In the spiritual thing, when we're going back, we're going back possibly because we've a job that we didn't do that we need to do. But if we're doing it in our own strength and we're going back and we're going away from the kingdom of God, you're wrong. You've messed up. And the only person's life that you're ruining is yours. You think that you're great. You think, oh, that's fine, I'll do my own thing. I can live like I want to live. I shall just do what I want to do and nobody can stop me. Correct? Nobody can. And sometimes nobody wants to be bothered because they're sick of hearing the same thing over and over again. You're born to have problems. You're born to have difficulties. You're born so that everything revolves around you. Get over yourself. Everything revolves around him. You have a part to play. You are important. You are cherished. You are loved. You are involved in his kingdom. For it's his kingdom. Sometimes when we're driving along, we want to find somewhere to park. And we think, I just need to stop. No parking. No parking. No parking. Where can I park? No parking. No parking. You want to stop, but legally you can't. You can stop, but it's told you not to. No parking can be a frustration thing, and it's inconvenient. But when it says no parking, don't quit, keep driving. Because further along in your journey, you'll find something marked up as a rest area, and it'll say you can park here. Tied in with that would be if you're on the motorway and it tells you that there's a service station ahead, you can park there. In fact, service station is better than a rest area. It's got more facilities. You can do more than just park your car there. So when we've got the rest area, God plans that we have a rest from time to time. How easy it is to carry on the weight, the love, the labours. How easy it is to just carry on working and working and working and working. And our Bible stays on the shelf or on the kitchen table or wherever we keep our Bibles, under the pillow. I found one under the pillow when I changed the bed the other day. Like, I've been looking for that one. I obviously read it in bed one night, because normally they're on the coffee table. But I'd obviously got involved in something, and when I changed the bed, moved the pillow, that's where it is. So I'd obviously read it and shoved it under the pillow. Alright, so Matthew 11 then. Matthew 11 and verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good. Not harsh, sharp, hard, sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. The difference in resting, there is a difference in resting and quitting. When you quit, that's it, it's all over, done, finished. When you rest, you then pick the job up again after you've had a time of rest. You've relaxed. You're refreshed. You're ready to go again. We renew our strength. Jesus is the bread of life. Feed on him. The word. Jesus is the word. Feed on him. Sometimes we go around roundabouts. There's a roundabout. One of the things about roundabouts is you can get on, you can drive round and round all day if you want. You'll find a lot of cars tooting at you and people annoying you, like. You'll annoy the heck out of a lot of people, but you can drive round that roundabout all day long. But there's a way that you need to go. And in our lives we need to find that way. It combines again with a left and a right turn. We're called to walk the straight and narrow path. We call them a straight and a narrow path. But each of us on that straight and narrow path has a different route and a different purpose for our lives. There'll be times that we'll be walking together and one of us will go that way and another one of us will go that way, or might go further on and go this. But we're still on that straight road. We're still on the road that God has planned for us. It's not difficult walking a Christian life. It's not difficult being a disciple of Jesus. As long as you keep these open, and you keep this in front of your eyes. All the direction that we need is there. If we're not able to translate the Bible or interpret the Bible for ourselves, that's why we have these daily notes, and they're on the back table. There are plenty of daily notes to help and guide you until you get proficient in enabling God to feed you directly. The main thing is that we keep walking, or we keep driving, and we don't stop, and we follow the rules and regulations. Romans 8 and verses 14 to 17 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you into bondage, to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory." Nobody wants to suffer. I used to jokingly tell the kids at school that, "Oh, can't you shut wind and I'm cold?" And their considerate teacher would say, "Suffer." The trouble with children, when you've got 36 sweaty children in the classroom, coughing and spluttering, I don't want the germs that they're bringing into my classroom. My windows were nearly always open. The ones at the back used to sneak the back window closed until I used to walk to the back of the room and say, "There appears to be a problem with that window." My room, my rules. His kingdom, his rules. One of the things that you'll notice, and we've mentioned this before, is when we talk about traffic lights, most people talk about stop lights or red lights. The good news is there's green lights. Stop lights are there to stop you, but green lights are there to let you know that when it's safe you can go. The amber light also means to stop. Doesn't mean try and make it to the other side. You were laughing. We're laughing because we've all done it. When I used to be at uni, there's a big roundabout near Bramall Lane. There's a massive big roundabout, and they've got traffic lights on there. And the people that live in Sheffield, or used to use that roundabout every day, all operated the same rule. The light went green, red, and amber, red, or green, amber, red, whatever way it is. Who looks at amber? But the light, when it went to red, the next two cars always went through on the red light, because the people on that roundabout that used it every day knew that that's what people did, which is great, except there's a problem. If you don't live in Sheffield and you're not familiar with that roundabout and the light turns to red, you'll stop and somebody drives up your bumper bar at the back, because they're expecting you to go. The rule of the road is there for a purpose. And although sometimes there are local arrangements, shall we say, Sheffield's a big city and can expect a lot of people that don't know what's happening. And I've spun through that on red a number of times. But you've always got to be careful, because you know very well that there's a police car in the vicinity, people suddenly became very concerned about obeying the red light. "Oh, there's a policeman at the side of me, I'd better stop." So then you slow down reasonably slowly so that the car behind you hopefully gets the message and sees the police car, because then everybody knows that you're going to be stopping. But if everybody sticks to the normal rules of the road, and obeys the traffic lights, you don't have to be excessively careful, do you? You just have to do what you have to do. One of the things sometimes that comes into our lives, we find that we've got difficulties. We find that there's something causing us a problem. It's a problem with some cars when you're going up a steep hill. I had a car, I had an old Marina, many, many years ago, an old white Marina. And it was brilliant, except when I went on Strines, some big hills on Strines. That's the moors near Sheffield for those not in the know. And my car had set off up this hill. You'd have to change down a gear and carry on going. It says, going. And it just, oh Jesus, help me get to the top. My car's not playing. You get to the top of the hill, bang to Jesus. Then you've got to go down the other side. It was easier going down the other side. Because in them days you could freewheel, not like these modern cars that cut out on you as soon as you set your foot off. But then, we used to do a lot of things with the older cars that you can't do now. So we have to adapt our lives to God's plan sometimes. The way that it's always worked doesn't necessarily work anymore. There's reason for rail crossings. We stop at a rail crossing for a reason. We don't want to get run over by a train. Going back to where we started with the diversion signs, the roadworks, tied up with that's a diversion sign. We know where we want to go, but then we'll get a diversion. Sometimes you need redirecting. But when you've been redirected, sometimes you get unexpected views, unexpected things happen that you can enjoy. Sometimes your circumstances redirect you. But we don't want to be redirected. We want to do what we want to do. But there's nothing wrong with being redirected. These young men are growing up. There's going to be times when they need to be redirected. We're not redirecting them because we want to spoil their fun. We're not redirecting them because we want them to do what we want them to do. We're redirecting them because we can see that what's happening is not right. We can see that the way that they're going may give them a problem. And if you're going to redirect somebody's life, you're going to give somebody some direction, tell them why you're doing it. Don't tell them not to do something without telling them why you're saying so. Because they need to understand the reason. You know why you're saying it, but they need to understand the reason. A lot of the arguments and fallouts in school used to come into my room, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so just told me this. I don't know what they think they're talking to. I said, but do you know why they said that? No, they just told me that. Then sometimes if you got some sort of an inkling why they'd been told that, you'd explain the reason. Well, why didn't you say so? Maybe they expected the reaction that I'm getting now and didn't want to put up with the fallout of the thing. But if somebody wants to redirect you or give you some guidance, listen to what they have to say. And then it's up to you whether you agree with the guidance and whether you follow it or not. People don't tend not to give you guidance to make life difficult for you. They tend to give you guidance to help you along. Just three quick ones. No overtaking. Don't pass. We are called to follow our leader. Don't get in front of God. Follow. Overtake the riffraff. And I'm saying that with a smile on my face. Overtake the people that don't want to get involved in a spiritual walk, but never overtake the man in front. Never overtake God. You can't get in front of God. He is preparing your path. You get in front of him, the path is not going to be good. Let God prepare the way for you to go in. Another one that will get are oil spills when there's a danger. The danger with an oil spill is that you'll lose control. Your tyres get on the oil and your car goes spinning around. The best sort of oil spill that I encourage you all to get is the oil spill of the Holy Spirit on your life. If you're going to get involved with an oil spill, let it be Holy Spirit anointing oil. Get yourself in a place and quietly wait on God to anoint you with His Spirit. Do it every day. Don't do it once and be satisfied. The Bible tells us if we seek Him, we'll find Him. You seek Him with all your heart. And finally, the low bridge. Now, the low bridge is usually a sign for lorries or double-decker buses. But for my purposes, the low bridge, if I'm walking somewhere, the highest point on me is my fabulously modest brain. But where does most of the problems in your life come from? Most of the problems in your life come from using too much of this. Where I live, there's a chap stands outside the supermarket with his big issue, telling everybody he's homeless and begging for money. I can tell you where he lives. Not homeless. But the amount of people that don't use this and give him sandwiches and they're handing him money, wow, it's a fabulous business. But it's doing somebody that genuinely needs that out of their money. Using this, he's homeless. Here, have some money. Pretend money, because he's pretend homeless, right? But the thing is, we can get ourselves caught up with what we think. But the day that I pulled up from sewing, and I thought to myself, oh, I'll grab him a sandwich. And as I'm walking past, I had that uneasy feeling. That uneasy feeling. And it were only 2 days later, I were driving past, and I watched him walk into a house. And the way he walked in, by not knocking on the door, just opening the door with his key, told me that he wasn't homeless. And he still stood there now. But the thing is, God will witness to your spirit when something's not right. We follow rules and regulations in our everyday lives, whether it's on the road, whether it's in the car, whether it's about paying our bills. When we go to the supermarket, you know you've got to pay at the till. When you go to the garage, you know you've got to pay before you drive out with that petrol. You know that you don't nick. You know that you don't do that sort of thing. When you see people in the street, you know that you're not supposed to go and punch them. You know that you're supposed to be civil to one another. And yet we take God for granted. And we either ignore or don't even bother to find out what His rules are. Can I encourage you this afternoon to spend more time seeking what His word is for your life. Seeking the path that He wants you to tread. Because there is only one path for you. You can't walk my path. Otherwise I'll tread on your toes because you get in my way. And I can't walk your path. And in some cases I don't want to. Some of you have got nice tempting paths. Now at one time a day, people in here will tell you, when I went to school, up to year 9, everything was fine. Then I was told, well, you're not going to be stopping on at school to do your GCSEs, O levels as it was in those days. You're going to be getting a job. We're not keeping you at school. You can find yourself a job. So why am I coming to school then? Why am I studying for exams I'm not going to take? So guess what she did? She stopped going to school. I think I went 6 times in year 10. Can't remember what was on. It must have been a party of some sort. It certainly weren't for the lesson. But the thing is, school was fine until I was discouraged. And things in our lives discourage us from time to time. And will change the way that you walk and change the way that you go. Don't let it be something in the natural that changes your walk. Make sure that it's this. Make sure that it's God's word that directs your path, that directs the way that you walk, and you will be as fulfilled as you want to be every single day of your life. Amen. Amen.